kick Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing at home for the free kick.
Good evening, everybody, and a great win, tempered by the awful injury to Joe Allen, which I'm sure everybody will join with us, hoping he gets fully fit again soon. It's certainly knocked the shine off. What was a great day. Before we get too carried away, I think it's probably fair, in my opinion, Hull were the worst team I've seen at Stoke this season. And a tempering thought when you think that we lost to them 2-0 earlier in the season. Was it 2-0 or 2-1? 2-1, I think.
Completely different team.
And my word, what a difference selling your best two players makes. Interestingly enough, before we talk about the match, I was talking to somebody yesterday who was doing some analysis of the championship teams and how their owners had invested or otherwise into their business. And the only team in the championship that had taken money out of their business was Hull, who have taken $13 million out this year, which I think speaks volumes. I thought Klukas was great. I thought Powell was great. I thought the team played well. One sort of disappointing aspect, of course, was the goal we conceded, and the defence went walkabout. But if ever you needed to know anything about our manager, his face spoke volumes when he was asked afterwards about Joe Allen. And whilst some people don't think he's been a great asset to this football club, I think we might now find out how good he is. Over to you, Russell.
Thank you, Ange.
Oh, Russell's eating some of the cake that I've left.
Yeah, wasn't it a delightful way to enjoy a Saturday afternoon?
It was.
I rushed back from Derby.
Did you get there for the kick-off? Not that you ever did.
Just about. Well, not. I know it had already kicked off as I was working in Derby at lunchtime, as everyone knows who follows me. I agree with you. Let's start with this. I saw numerous posts this week of let's not be registered charity Stoke this weekend, you know, can we please leave that negative mindset out of the social media at the moment, because I think we've got a manager now who we can trust, in my opinion, Ange. I think we've got a manager now who can trust. He's got a group of players who are clearly playing for him. Let's give credit where credit is due, okay, to the players, because they made it incredibly hard for Hull in that first 30 minutes yesterday. Everything you want to see from a home side, pressure on the ball, of a side who clearly had no confidence whatsoever. They were making numerous mistakes. Every pass they made almost went to us. You know, it was just a... But we punished them. And how many times has that not happened before? And instead of saying, you can't say to on social media, don't be a registered charity Stoke, and then not give the players a huge amount of credit for performing like that and putting a side to the sword, however bad they might be. Okay, so I'm not going to say Hull were rubbish tonight, because, you know, they've got six players out. They've sold the best two strikers during the transfer window. Obviously, their chairman has... I mean, I'm going to say he's let the club down, obviously, because he thought that the club was safe, presumably, when he sold those players, and they've just bottomed. But and obviously, the effect that selling those players in the January transfer window must have affected the squad. Everything has totally misjudged the situation, and they're probably in real trouble now, Ange, based on yesterday's performance and the previous results. So, but like I say, let's not criticise our own players for putting a poor side to the sword. Let's give them credit where credit's due, because that was a real overpowering first 30-35 minutes. You know, I mean, talk about knocking the stuffing out of a side who were desperately short of confidence. Stoke were brilliant. You know, I think one or two decisions went our way, but that's you know, the important thing is, you know, we're taking advantage of these things. Nick Powell, I have to say, Ange, because of the thing I always say in relation to players settling into a football club and giving him a chance. I mean, some people had already written that player off as a waste of time, as an injury-prone waste of money. And he's now proving, what we thought we signed. A damn good player, really. I mean, some of his quality, again, his arrogance is amazing. You know, the skills he's got. And those goals yesterday. I mean, the first goal, let's look at that first. I thought that should have been saved. I don't know about you, Ange, did you? I thought it should have been saved.
Yeah, probably.
From my angle. Let's put it this way. If Jack Butland had let that in, we'd have been a bit cross, I think. I mean, the second goal was just stupidity, wasn't it? So, you know, big, you know, handball, which I credit the referee spotted. I didn't spot it live. The third goal, I mean, there's got to be an argument there whether or not it was a foul by Campbell on the touchline. It looked like it live, but possibly not. Again, them decisions sometimes go for you and against you, don't they? But a great finish by Klukas. He's now on double figures.
Yeah, for a midfielder, I think
superb. He's doing great.
I think probably will end up being our player of the season, just ahead of Powell. But you talk about not saying how bad Hull were. I don't think anybody with any sense would think they were anything other than appalling. And I would just say that their fans...
to me cake.
I thought they were outstanding the way they kept going, because we've all been... Well, we haven't all been there, Russ, because you haven't. But when we got battered at Tottenham, at Wembley, when we've lost other matches... by a huge amount in the last few years. I don't think I've seen a team with less heart than Hull. But when you've got a lot of kids playing, it really was men against boys yesterday. And all credit to the team. They took their chances. It should have been more. I mean, we were profligate. Nick Powell also had another chance just after he scored, when he dinked it over the keeper and put it wide. But the positives for me were we won, we played okay. We improved our goal difference, which might still come down to goal difference at some point. I know we don't think it will, but you've always got that to look about. And if you look at the table, we're still only 3 points and goal difference off the bottom three. So we're not out of the woods by any means. And
what did I say last week?
I don't think we will be out of the woods for a few more matches. But if we carry on playing like that, it'll be a big help. Dave Palin, who you know normally gets in touch with us from Australia, is in Ireland at the moment and couldn't watch the game yesterday. But when he checked the score, he couldn't believe it. And he didn't believe it when I told him we were 3-0 up after 20 minutes. And the only bad thing from his perspective was the news of Joe Allen, and hopefully it's a speedy recovery, because since O'Neill has come back, he's been back to his best, says Dave. He still doesn't think we're far enough away from the drop zone, so we need another big result against Reading next week. Of course, that will be a big match. So we have to hope that coronavirus willing, that fans will be able to go. And while we're on that subject, whether we play behind closed doors or not in any matches this season, it's going to be a big leveller, because if you're away in a match and there's nobody there from the home team watching you, I think that levels up the playing field as well. So if it does happen...
What do you mean, if?
Well, if it does happen, we don't know. And the other thing I would say while we're on the subject of coronavirus is that I have answered everybody's emails regarding a lack of toilet tissue. I did speak to the club at the match. They assure me that they put as much, if not more, towels into different areas. What I would suggest is, if you want to make certain that you can wipe your hands in any place at this moment, not just the football stadium, take some tissues with you. It may well be that everybody's buying up toilet paper at the moment to do just that same thing. I've never heard of anybody with coronavirus suffering from a dose of the whatevers, but we've got a bit of panic buying going on, so I'm just making a suggestion, if a hand tissue, anything, just to make certain you can wash your hands. But it's good to see that people are trying to do something to keep the virus down. So you've got a few to catch up with all
that. Yeah, well, just on that very subject, what did you think of the ban on shaking hands before the game?
I understand it. I think it's fraught with problems, because yesterday you had those children who've been waiting ages and looking forward to being the mascot, and paid a lot of money yesterday. They weren't allowed to have pictures. It was a decision whether the players held hands with them. It wasn't the greatest experience. I'm sure Stoke will try. And, I'm not sure. I hope Stoke try and do something to help people who didn't get the right experience compared to everybody else. But in answer to your question, it's a bit difficult, isn't it? It's there to reinforce the fact that we've got to be careful, I think. But when you get players jumping all over each other, I think the technical term is gobbing on the floor.
Well, let me read this out, because the reason why I said this was because I had a tweet from a footballer who said this, Ange. Imagine not shaking hands before a contact sport where you'll be pushing, shoving, sweating and spitting over each other for 90 minutes and then shake hands and cuddle one another afterwards anyway.
Yeah.
So what is exactly the point of it?
Apart from symbolism. I think it's a symbol. I think it's trying to tell people that we're doing what we're doing. But
and then they go on and do it anyway.
Yeah,
and then gob all over one another, like you say.
It's just a difficult time we live in. KU Stokey from America on the Oatcake says, "Greetings, Ange and Ross. A great win just shows what might have been. I feel terrible for Alan. Unfortunately, we'll now know how much he's contributed. I believe we'll miss him more than most people think. He contributes on and off the field and seems to take relegation personally." While we're on that subject, if we're assuming that Ryan isn't going to come straight back into the team next week, who would you have as captain? That'll be interesting. And Neddy on the Oatcake says, "I wasn't sure we'd miss McLean, but we have, and Alan will be the same." And for those of you thinking that James McLean will be back next week, I think that's a bit optimistic, because he hasn't trained yet.
If he does train this week, he'll be playing, I'll bet you, knowing him.
Well, I think he'll want to.
If he does train at all this week, he will, but he'll want to play. But I mean, talking of which, you know, the point about the form. I mean, the form table.
I think we're second, aren't we?
It's incredible. Since the 1st of January, 21 points in 12 games, only Fulham got more points with 22, and interestingly Wigan are with us on 21. So the form of both Stoke and Wigan is incredible. You can understand why Hull thought they might be safe, because us and Wigan were really cut adrift, weren't we, Ange? I mean, we're well down there, and Luton as well.
I don't think it's a matter of Hull thinking they were safe, if I'm being honest, Russ. I think it's the owner who doesn't particularly want to keep the club and was trying to get some money out of it.
Well, we've pulled 16 points back on Hull since the 1st of January, which is, you know, it's nothing really, is it, in 2 months?
No, and if you look at the weekend upcoming matches of this coming weekend, then there's a couple of very big matches at the bottom of the table. Not all five of the bottom six can possibly win, because they're playing each other. And if the worst thing happened, we would still be out of the bottom three on goal difference, unless we concede about 8. And we shouldn't be looking at that now. We should be looking upwards. But let us have your thoughts on who will replace Joe Allen in the team. And let us have your thoughts on who will be the skipper, because I'd really like to know that.
Okay, first on Twitter, Michael Stockley says, "Hull are down for me. What was evident was that after every one of our goals, their players were not arguing with each other or showing any emotion. To me, that shows complete disinterest and passion for winning a game of football." I think it was a team who didn't think they were going to get anything yesterday afternoon.
Because well, after they've the got first so, 20 minutes, they didn't.
Well, they got so many injuries as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's not just There was one player in particular who really caught my eye from them, and it was the young lad who came on in the second half who played on the left wing. I think his name was Keane Lewis Potter, which is a cracking name.
Because if you're a Stoke fan.
Yeah, exactly. But I'd be interested in looking at him if, you know, if we were, probably we already are. But I have to say, Ange, he caught my eye so much. I checked him out. On Twitter during the game to see whether he was represented, because you know, I thought, although Tommy Smith let him go a number of times, but the lad showed clever endeavour, and he certainly got great feet. He made some great runs where Tommy Smith couldn't see where he was. Eventually, he worked it out, but not before we'd conceded one.
No, it was poor defending, that was.
It was all poor defending, because, I mean, the lad was wide open in the middle of the box.
But in the second half, we gave him too much time to work through the midfield, and that was possibly because of Alan's departure, and I'd like to know what people thought of Tashan Oakley-Boo too. KU Stokey on the Oatcake says, Powell reminds me a lot of Peter Dobin, who also underperformed because he sometimes couldn't be bothered. I remember that, yeah. Waddington pulled a masterstroke by making him the captain, which made him more responsible. Might work for Powell. So KU Stokey's saying he thinks Powell might be the captain. I personally think he'll go for somebody in the centre of defence, maybe Danny Bart. I would be looking at Klukas as well if it were me, but obviously our manager knows best.
Okay, on Facebook. I wonder why Steve Breeze is the first person to comment.
He obviously had a good week. I just know without even looking, I didn't.
Well, I got six this weekend, which is an improvement for me from two. Anyway, Mark Espy says it should be a positive show. Sarah Bailey says good evening both. Ted says, and Jules say, we missed last week as we were in London, but what a cracking game it was yesterday. Did you think it was a cracking game, Ange?
Not really, but Ted and Jules, you obviously haven't seen or listened to last week's show when Russ actually gave away your sweater, Jules, the one that you're looking forward to. So when you see him next, it's his fault.
Okay, Ian says, told you it would be, I think he means cracking, not smacking, get in, Stoke. Bill McGraw says, good evening all. Michael Stockley says, listening from a fishing bank at Barden Hall. Fishing show and carp. What could be better, says Michael?
Well, I wouldn't want to be really out get of the involved freezing in cold, that because be I'm not a big fisher person, but enjoy, Michael. No. Anybody that's near, is it Barden Hall?
Barden Hall.
Anybody that's near, put your radio on very loud, walk past with a dog, or whatever, just to entice the fish to Michael's rod. When I said that, I thought somebody's going to take it the wrong way.
Just reminds me, do you know what I mean? It just reminds me of that advert in the 80s. Do you remember Russ Abbott, Ange? Putting that Hamlet, Hamlet. Are we allowed to say Hamlet on air anymore? Putting that speaker into the water and all the fish of Des O'Connor record on.
And they all jumped out.
Yes. Anyway, I wonder if that is trying that tactic.
Yeah. You could play your tunes and then that would
yeah,
be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress.
There's some Eurovision classics coming up in the next few weeks. I can tell you who are going to do that. Anyway, Brian Finney says, evening all, great result. It could have been 8 or 9. Well, I'll go for double figures, Brian, if we'd have been absolutely clinical. Certainly in that first half, we could have been 7 up after about, I don't know, 40 minutes at least. And that, you know, there's no exaggeration.
But some, I'm happy with the win, so I'm not going to
The one-on-one chances we missed, you know, if it had been even, if it had been a perfect day, we'd have been, well, made Stoke Liverpool at half-time look
same.
A bit. Yeah, exactly. Joe Allen will be a big loss, though, says Brian. Neil Price says, evening, Russ, and hello, Angela. I said hello to you outside the club shop yesterday. Did you say anything else?
Yeah, but that's between me and Neil, not
okay.
You.
Oh, okay. Steve Breeze says,
We found out
how much we'll miss Joe in the second half. Someone needs to fill his boots. Mark Espley says, which kickoff did Russell Dutton get in the ground for? Ours, just about. But I missed about 2 minutes, and even that was interesting because I heard big roars from the outside. Was somebody This was Tom Ince brought down in the penalty box very early on, and it might have been given, Ange?
Not some, to my knowledge, but then I couldn't remember? Blinked.
Okay. Duncan Ridgeway asked the same question you've asked, Ange, which is who comes in for Alan? Well, please answer it, Duncan. What do you think?
Well, what do you think, Russ?
When McLean is fit, I think Powell will slip into the in middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
But he isn't fit at the moment. So
well, I think he'll play next week.
Okay, I don't.
I think he will.
Okay.
Even if he's 75% fit, I think he'll play next week, McLean. Anyway, Neil Price says an easy 5-1 win on the front foot from the start, although Hull was shockingly poor. Forget about Hull. Neil, we've played a lot of there's been a lot of shockingly poor teams who've come down this season and we haven't beaten 5-1.
Yeah, you know, I don't actually think the Championship this year is a great league.
It's very poor.
I mean, Queen's Park Rangers put Preston to the sword at Preston yesterday with 10 men in the second half.
It's frustratingly poor when you see how we've played at home lately and how much. I mean, Butland, apart from picking the ball out of the back of the net, Ange, in one catch, had absolutely nothing to do. Zero but to do.
I still think his distribution is not.
Oh, his place. Kicking's awful. Yes, yeah, but that's the. I'm on about.
Yeah.
I'm on no, about last ditch stops or sure. Wonderful saves yeah. or something that he's had to make in the past, Ange.
Yeah.
The last few home games, he's hardly had anything to do.
No, true.
So anyway, I mean that's the frustrating thing, Ange, because, I mean, the player's attitude or the manager who we had at the start of the season and last season. The ease with which we're winning some of these games at home now is quite frightening and quite obvious. You know, this is what we thought we would be like when we got relegated with the squad of players we've got. We've just got nothing out of them. Now, you've got to blame the manager, you've got to blame the players to some extent as well. But obviously there's somebody there now who they actually believe in, somebody who can organise a team. And look at the results now, especially at home. Sure. Especially at home. So I'm sitting there how I was sitting about 4 years ago, 5 years ago at the moment when I'm at home. I'm thinking we can score goals and we're going to win. And we haven't thought like that for quite a while.
If you look at next Saturday's fixtures, Russ, I know you've got them out there. Hull play Charlton, Middlesbrough at home to Swansea, Luton play Preston, Reading play us, obviously, and then there's another one, Huddersfield against Wigan. So if you look at Huddersfield against Wigan and the Charlton against Hull game, you would say, I personally think Huddersfield and Wigan will be a draw, which I think would be the best result for us.
Yeah.
Hull against Charlton, I'd like that to be a draw too, but I think Hull will win that.
Do you think they will?
And I do actually think that's their last chance of giving themselves a lift. But the next weekend, again, if we can win at Reading, that might make a huge difference for us.
No, but I'm really happy with the point, Ange. I'm happy with the point, and I'm happy winning our own games. Because if we carry on doing that,
yeah.
There's no problem. And we've got some crucial games coming up at home. Middlesbrough in the midweek.
Barnsley.
Games, if we carry on playing like we're playing, you'd like to think we're going to get 3 points.
Sure.
So, I don't want to, like I say, I don't want to hear negative stuff. I know as I said last week, it didn't make any difference yesterday that we got the 3 points or whether we lost the game. We were still going to be in it. So we've got to carry on. We've just got to carry on this form. Go on, Ange.
This is from Jason in Japan. Dear Ange and Russ, what a brilliant game. I know Hull were poor, but we put them to the sword. I was apprehensive before the game, as I know how generous we are to teams not doing well. But I soon relaxed a bit once those first two goals went in. Wonderful team performance, but I feel gutted for Joe. I wish him all the best for his recovery. Who do you think will step up instead? I thought Oakley Booth had a good debut. I now feel, seeing how well we can play, we'll be safe. 2-1 win to us at Reading. So glad we have Michael O'Neill. Thanks for the great show in advance. Best wishes from Japan, Jason.
Thank you, so, Jason. Enjoy it with your run, our show. Anyway, Bill McGraw asked this. Everybody's asking the same question, but nobody's answering it, Ange, at the moment. Saying, Bill McGraw says, who do we have to replace Joe Allen while he recovers from injury? I don't think we have got anybody to replace him, as in a perfect replacement for Joe Allen. But like I say, it'll certainly answer some questions about what people's thoughts about Joe Allen have been over the last few months. Anyway, Neil Price says, I'm very impressed with Sam Clucas, Jordan Thompson and Nick Powell yesterday, says Neil. Duncan Ridgeway offers the opportunity of recalling Woods from Millwall. Ange, what do you think the chances of that are?
Well, I said I'd draw the plat fog at the end of last week's show, and I'm not a big fan of Woods, but everybody is their right to have an opinion on that. I wouldn't recall him. And to be honest, I don't think he would want to come back to Stoke. I don't think he was happy at Stoke. I don't know what you think.
No, I'd heard that. So, yeah, like I say, some people just didn't settle, did they?
No.
And this is this talking about people settling in and having a debut. Stephen Roberts says, didn't Tashan Oakley-Booth play well coming on for Allen? Now, this is split opinion, has it not? But again, it's just ridiculous in my opinion, just judging a player on how long, 45 minutes, Ange?
I actually didn't think he was very good for the first 20 minutes.
That's what I mean.
But then he came good, and if he hadn't come good against them, I don't know what I would have thought. But he made the last goal, and he did a couple of intelligent runs. But I don't think he's going to be starting anytime soon. I really don't. I don't know what you think.
No, I don't think he is. But again, you can't judge a player on 45 minutes. Anyway, I'd more of a look at him on Monday night, actually, against Man United, and he played really well.
Good.
So, unlike some of the other squad members who were near the team, I have to say, Ryan himself, before he came off for injury, looked a much better side when Ryan came off. And I'm not saying that's because he's no good. I'm saying because the understanding between the two centre-halves who were together... Yeah, after Ryan went off, Cameron McJanet and Forrester, who played together so many times in the past, was so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, we were 3-0 down when Ryan went off.
Yeah.
And the team were much, much better and defensively and going forward when he went off. It never seems to work when they try and incorporate squad members into that team. It never seems to happen. And I know if Chris Scott's listening... he'll agree with me because we were sitting talking about that at the game on Monday. Ted says, I think our manager is getting the best out of Nick Powell. Yeah, Nick Powell is certainly one of our talisman at the moment, is he not, Andrew?
Yeah, and he did his famous drag back and turn yesterday again, didn't he? He also went a bit over the top with some of his, what I would term showboating. But how nice that at last we've been in a situation where somebody can... extract the mick for a little bit.
He's got that hint about he's always at it. I mean, against us, when he took us to the cleaners, let's be honest, in that first season down against Wigan, he did have that arrogance, and he really wound Ashley Williams up to the extent where he got him sent off.
He's got that, as you say, that little bit of something about him, and I think Sam Clucas is similar.
Yeah. George Edworthy says, I don't think Oakley Booth has the strength to make it in our midfield. He seemed to get bullied in his first 15 minutes, which probably is what you're referring to.
Yeah, I thought he was bullied a bit too.
I don't think he would be a great fit in our midfield position against stronger opposition. I think it's very, very early to make a judgment like that, George. He played really well on Monday night against a very, very decent Manchester United side that they put out with a lot of players who played first-team football. So, you know, I mean, he must have been a bit nervous as well coming on for his debut, especially replacing the player he replaced as well, because he knew everybody would be watching him.
Well, KU Stokey says he'd play Clucas on the left, Powell in the middle, and bring in Cousins for Allen until McLean is fit.
Was Cousins injured yesterday?
Yeah, he got a bad gash on his leg after the game, the Luton game. Well, in the Luton game, but it wasn't.
I don't think he'd have played anyway, do you? Even if he'd had the gash, he'd have brought Thompson in, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Thompson has one good thing going for him. He's young, energetic, and he tries to pass the ball forward, which is what we lack in many occasions.
Andy does break up things. Yeah. You know, when he get when he gets
he
when
quietly he, gets everything sorted.
He mops
he?
Up.
Yeah.
And he's a good lad. He is. But he looks on. You know, again, you shouldn't form judgments on early impressions. But he looks a very, very decent player indeed. He does. Scott Price says, fantastic 5-1 win yesterday. Stoke was superb. Went out and did the job. All are awful, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And it was a joy to see us score those goals. And that's a fact. And I'm glad our team's getting the praise first instead of saying all we're rubbish, because we say this so many times when we whack a side, is that because the other side's rubbish, yeah, instead of giving ourselves the credit. Yeah. And I'm fed up of it, really. John Woodall says, a big thank you to the club for making sure there was plenty of hand wipe rolls. Saw the stewards going around making sure everyone could wash their hands.
Yeah, look, I've heard so many different stories about this. People saying there wasn't enough hand towels, etc. I do believe on this occasion the club tried to do as much as they could. And I would always say that in a situation like we're in at the present moment in time, if you're worried about washing and wiping your hands, then have some sanitizer with you, if you can get some. But certainly you can have some form of something to wipe your hands on. So I would suggest to anybody going to any big event, have something that you can wipe your hands on.
Do you know what, Ange? I don't want to be rude about our supporters, but whenever I go into the toilet, there's always plenty of hand towels there in normal times, because a lot of the dirty people don't wash their hands in the first place anyway.
Well, it's quite funny you said that, because of the amount of people that said to me they couldn't believe how many people were washing their hands yesterday. So,
Which is a bit more than normal, let's put it that way.
If it does nothing else, this virus, then alert people to the fact. But I've always, and I know we're slightly digressing and people might laugh at this, going into a toilet is normally not a problem, because you can elbow the door, you can use your forearms on the door to get in so you don't have to touch it. And you can do the same on the cubicles. It's when you want to come out of the cubicles. And I sort of got myself in one or two places that I frequent quite often. I'd been able to get myself out of the toilets. The lock ones are easy because you just flick it across with your elbow. The ones with the funny contraption on aren't so easy. It's the coming out of the main door. And the amount of people yesterday, I was laughing, that were trying to contort their hand up their coat, right, so they could get it through. But that coronavirus advert...
Can I give the club a piece of advice, Ange?
Take all the door handles off?
Take the doors off, because there isn't a... That you cannot, and this is me talking as a person, a man who uses the toilet, you can't see anything if they took the door off, because the walls are either positioned or anything. It wouldn't... I mean, it'd force the club to keep the toilets clean, don't get me wrong, because you don't get any aromas coming through into the concourse. But they could take the doors, outside doors off.
I just wonder whether there's a health and safety point on that.
But in modern schools now, Ange, yeah, like, for example, the new builds and stuff, yeah, to stop bullying and stuff like that, they've taken the doors, yeah, off and configured them so you, yeah, don't have to use, for obviously hygiene reasons as
sure,
well.
Sure. Anyway. Well, whilst we're on to hygiene and the Stoke Club, we had an email from Steve Cook today. Hi, Ange and Russ. First, I hope you have a great programme as usual. I've titled my email like the articles that used to appear occasionally in the late lamented oatcake fanzine, and it's like my bottom, the other word for bottom you can put in yourself.
Okay.
Over the past few seasons, we've had to endure some real dross at times. The only thing to look forward to for me and two friends was our half-time chocolate treat and a cup of tea with a tot of rum. Which I provided using a small stainless steel flask. Yesterday we arrived at the turnstiles. I opened my bag, as I have done a million times, to show the contents. The steward, for the first time ever, took the flask. He took the top off and asked what the contents were. I said, tea with a tot of rum. Thought so, said the steward. I could smell the rum. Sorry, mate, can't let you come in with that. The obvious protestations followed, but there was no way he would let me in. In the end, I poured the contents of the flask on the floor in front of him.
Oh, scandal.
I could now enter the ground to buy alcohol if I so wished. Excuse me, that's my attempt at irony. I'd have drunk it before I went in, but still. I accept with thanks all the security work the stewards do. I've even got used to being asked to raise my hat to make sure I'm not concealing drugs on top of my 68-year-old silver hair. If tea with a lot of rum is interpreted as bringing alcohol into the ground, then I should be very disappointed with my football club. No doubt they'll be eager for me to renew my season ticket. They should realise that this sort of petty-mindedness will make it very easy for me to get out of the habit of going. This may sound silly, but the gloss was taken off, excuse me, I'm going to cough, what should have been a great day out at the footy for a change. Hull were very poor, just like the officialdom at the football club I've supported for nearly 60 years. Best regards to you both, Steve.
Right, I'll carry on talking while you...
No, well, I'll give you my answer for that.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, whether it's somebody being over-officious or otherwise, you're not allowed to take alcohol into a football match of any description. So, whilst I sympathise, I just thought I'd read that out because there might be other people doing the same who've got away with it, but occasionally you'll get caught out and that's the reason.
Even if it's in coffee or tea?
Yeah, there is signs everywhere that says you can't do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, but it's just common sense.
I've still drunk it.
It's just common sense, isn't it? Anyway, George Edward, he says, don't get too excited, Ange. When we draw at Reading, we're back in the mixer. We're still in the mixer anyway.
Yeah. I think by the end of March, we'll be able to breathe easily.
Judith Barnett says, and I think so say all of us to this one, big get well soon for Joe Allen. Ian Mackey says, Nick Powell is a quality player that we needed. Since he has played regularly, we have certainly started to score more goals. The talk of the town about us not scoring three goals in a match again, Andrew, we're being saved every week now. You know, it was five this time. I think what's Peter Smith say? We hadn't scored three goals in a match for about 82 matches, and then we've done it eight times under Michael O'Neill. Explain that one, other than just having a manager they believe in, probably.
I can't, but KU Stokey has answered your doors off the toilets.
Okay.
I don't know much, but I do know about toilets, he said. To remove the doors, you have to have negative inside pressure, otherwise it's a health and safety concern.
What about those toilets that have no doors at all?
Well, they're doorless.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm making a serious suggestion to the club, because there is, as far as I can see anyway, from a privacy point of view, for anything, there is walls there and wherever the urinals are and things like that are well out of the way of anybody's vision. It could be a way of preventing anybody picking anything up. Anyway, Steve Breeze says, we're only 14 points off the playoffs.
Not going to do it, Steve.
George Edworthy says, COVID-19, haha, don't shake hands before the match. The final whistle goes and the players shake hands, which is very true. Gareth Mate says, as we've talked about with Ange, symbolism probably more than anything. Never mind, anyway, and if you're over 70, you won't be going in a football game shortly.
That won't happen either, I don't think.
How do you enforce that, Ange?
Well, obviously everybody takes the passport and the birth certificate.
I mean, how are you going to get it?
Well, I'd be all right, because my passport isn't forged. I'm under 70, whereas yours is forged, and you are over 50.
Not quite. Gareth Mate says, good evening, both. Great win yesterday. Shame about Joe Allen, but hopefully some more game time for others. Still not out of the woods yet, with big games still to come. We're nowhere near out of the woods yet, but I'm very, very confident we will be.
Listen, could you imagine if we hadn't have won that match yesterday? Then you would have thought you were down.
No.
So, look on the bright side.
I did say this last week, Ange.
I switch off when you start talking.
I said it didn't matter what happened yesterday. We'd still be involved.
You did say that.
To be fair.
You did, to be fair.
Ashley Campion says, good result, take nothing away from the lads, but they were a poor side. We have to defend well, he says. Martin Eagle says, the players didn't shake hands pre-match, but did post-match. Yep. Scott Price says, Nick Powell was fantastic again, and since he's running the team, he's had assists for goals and scored a few himself. He links up well with Tyrese Campbell. Yeah, and he gets in the right positions to score. I'm not saying he's got second goal as a tap-in, but he gets in the right positions to be available. To score goals as well. Neil Price says, the queue for the hand wash in the toilet was unreal. I've never seen anything like that. Shaking hands with your match day friends was off. We used our elbows for physical contact.
Yeah, we did too.
Oh, crumbs.
And for those of you on Facebook, I've just used my elbow for physical contact.
Yeah, Gary Pardy.
In a very friendly way.
Gary Pardy says Powell for captain.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that, but I do think he'll go for a central defender.
Steve Roberts says he's going to have James Chester for captain.
Okay.
Dave Matthews says, do you think Tom Edwards could be adapted to play in a midfield role? Tom was another one who didn't cover himself in glory, in my opinion, on Monday night. Another first-team squad member coming into the under-23s who didn't particularly play very well, in my opinion, but there you go. Lisa Dutton says, did the Not FM presenters enjoy their pre-show cake?
We did, but don't you think it's about time he came and got the washing up done?
Or brought
it was lovely, thank
you. Or brought another piece at 7:30.
And Lisa Dutton is trying to take the glory for her daughter's work. I think that's dreadful.
Ted says, Russ definitely did. We've all eaten it all with him. And my wife says that Kira made it and it was rather good. Yeah,
it was beautiful.
It was very good. George Edworthy says, sort out our fullback situation, get more cover for the wings and up top, and we're looking all right for next season. Even though I said that last year, I think if only the season had started in January. I'm sure we're all beginning to enjoy. I mean, last week, the reaction to last week I was so disappointed with, because I swear if that goal hadn't, that penalty hadn't been given away, Ange, we wouldn't have had the reaction to the result that
we had. No, we wouldn't, but that's what people do.
You know, surely we can see that there are definite improvements being made in this team. Surely we can see that. I hope everybody's enjoying watching the team playing at home, especially at the moment, because it's much, much better.
I think the one thing that we ought to be thankful for is that we have a manager now who is unflappable, answers all the questions at press conferences sensibly. When we win, he's happy, he takes a little bit of applause and walks off. When we lose, he's got a pragmatic approach and he tries to fix the problems for the next match. That's something we didn't have with the previous incumbent, and it never changed. And I think that given two or three transfer windows, he'll have the club back where we all want it to be.
Well, here's a cracking bit of inside knowledge from John Stoddard, because he says, Ange, we don't have doors on the entrance to the men's toilets in the booth and end. There was no paper in the gents at 1:45 p.m. on Saturday. I had to use a handkerchief, says John.
Well, John, all I'll say to you is well done for having a handkerchief, because that's what a sensible bloke would do. And I will pass on your comment. I don't know from your comment, John, if somebody's nicked the doors or if there's never been doors on the men's toilets. And I'm not being funny. I don't know, because obviously somebody asked me the other day if I'd been in the men's toilets on the concourse. Never. I'm not sure why I would want to, but still, I never have. You do get asked some strange things.
It's a cracking show, this, isn't it? We're talking about blokes' toilets. Paul Heath, although needs must, because it's going to become a very serious subject.
Well, it's already serious.
No, but soon enough, it's going to become an even more serious subject, probably affecting sport a lot more than it's doing at the moment, I think. What we do, I have no idea, but I think it's going to affect sport soon enough. Paul Heath says, Jack Butland for captain, he says. Hopefully McLean will be back on Saturday and Powell can move back to his preferred position. Dan Ayres turned up for a change a bit early.
Wow.
German Stokey, and says, hi guys, a great weekend and result preceded by the decision of making some financial sacrifices and getting season tickets for me and the kids for the first time in a few years.
Well,
so I'm looking forward to it, as the kids have now shown a passion for football with Stoke, even the Liverpool boy.
Well done, even better.
Regarding tickets, a positive is how much easier it was to buy the new tickets online and how cheaper it is to have the 12-month option. Well done, Stoke and the council, and you guys had a hand in it. It's obviously a compliment to you, Ange, which is long overdue, I have to say.
Nice
of you
to share that with us, thank you.
Looking forward to 2020, 2021, and being there every home game again. So can you clarify something, Ange? Can you buy the renew your season tickets with a 12-month option online?
Yes.
But what do you do by just putting your card details in? Do they just take it? Okay, great, because I think I'm going to do that.
I think when you look at people, some of the people that have to travel the distances that they do, that being a case in point, it's good that we're able to do that. So thank you, and we look forward to seeing you at the match, and we'll have to catch up.
Yes.
Meet you by the gents' toilets, if you like.
Gary Eagles says, oh dear. If anybody's tuning in just at that point.
Gary, there's no doors on them, though, in the building, so it won't be in the
building. I'll say Gary Eagles again for the fourth time. Gary Eagles says, Ted and Jules were being filmed yesterday by some guys from the uni. Is this a project? Was it
the film, Death of a Jumper?
Still Life.
Was it that one? Death of a Jumper. It dies in the end. It has one arm cut out.
It's an art project, obviously. Sorry, Ted. I saw Ted on the big screen yesterday celebrating one of the goals.
Really?
Yes, I did. And while we're at it, wasn't it nice to see your interview with the ladies from Stoke, Chloe Jones, Beth Roberts and Caitlin Chapman?
I honestly don't know because I didn't see it.
You didn't see it, but
as
it was on.
As soon as I knew it was coming on, I beat a hasty retreat.
I mean, for those of you who don't know who missed last week's show, for a club in the third tier of English women's football, Stoke City have had three players away this week playing international football for England and Northern Ireland, which I think just shows you what the development of the club actually is, which is a magnificent achievement. Martin Mason says, "Hi, didn't get in till 5 minutes into the game because the lifts to the disabled platform broke again, the fourth time since Christmas, apparently." Maybe this is one for your agenda, Ange.
Well, I'm sure Stoke won't be happy because they've paid a lot of money to get those lifts organised.
Stuck outside, Ange. Please take this up with the club. Thanks.
I will, of course.
Funnily enough, I promise you I don't read these before I make my comments, folks. Ted was seen on the big screen as well, says Neil Price. I noticed him. Lee Fellows, how couldn't you notice him? Lee Fellows says, unlucky for Alan. I'd be worried if not for the fact Thompson seems to have come on leaps and bounds. Thompson's delivery to me always makes us look dangerous from set pieces. And his delivery for the fourth goal was spot on. Funnily, it just shows you again how subjective football is there. Because I swear I saw a post saying from someone on Twitter last night saying his delivery from set pieces wasn't good enough or wasteful. And that just shows you. Gary Pardy says, I think Lucas will swap with Powell. And Cousins will take Alan's place.
That, Gary.
Lee Fallow says, Thompson with Clucas and Cousins in for the defence at Reading, a defensive midfield setup. Going forward after that, Powell goes into the middle when McLean is fully fit. McLean makes the bench for me on Saturday. Can't see O'Neill risking it with Alan out. Duncan Ridgeway says he'd bring in Robbie James for Alan Russ, he says. He's trying me. It's a bit of sarcasm.
Yeah.
Because I asked him to tell me who he'd bring in. You're not with it, are you, at all?
I am with it, but
okay.
You don't
get it.
Yes.
Okay. Is that yes? You don't get it.
No,
yes,
I get it.
Okay. Judith Barnard says Michael O'Neill likes Cousins for Joe's place, and she's going for Captain Bart.
Yeah, I think he'll go for Bart.
Scott,
go for a central defender, I think.
Scott Price says, Tashan Oakley Booth for his home debut was decent and had a good assist for the fifth goal. Jordan Thompson, Sam Clucas, Nick Powell played well. Speedy recovery and all best wishes to Joe Allen. Stevie Breeze, the
cheat,
said, I wouldn't put Powell into the Allen role with his injury record. It's a high impact role. And it needs a hard man in there. Bring Glenn Whelan back. Robert Mills says Tobbins was grappled down in the penalty area in the first half. There you are, Ange.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Ben Davies says Cousins for Allen in holding midfield. Don't move the current formation up front. Powell is perfect in his position. As much as Allen is a huge loss, we would have lost him in the transfer market, and he may leave next season anyway. So utilise this time off to look at different players and options. They're really interesting. I'm trying to wrap my brains, Ange. How much time you're out from a ruptured ankle ligament?
It's not an ankle ligament. It's your Achilles tendon.
Right.
He got a ruptured Achilles, apparently.
Okay.
And if you're very lucky, you can be back between 6 to 8 months. If you're not so lucky, it can be up to 12 months.
So there's very, it's very unlikely he'll be moving on in the summer, isn't
and,
it?
And at the age he is now, it's not always, you never quite know until you get back on a football pitch or on any sporting surface how well you're going to adapt. So it's a difficult time for anybody, let alone an international player. And we've all said how sorry we are about it, and I just wish him well and hope he gets back to playing again.
It's an interesting one. I don't want to see him go, but I wonder if we'd factored in getting $10 million for him in the summer, and we're not going to get it now.
I've no idea.
But you get my point, Ange. Mm. Dave Beach says, good win yesterday against a very poor side. Walking up to the Bet365 yesterday and regarding the parking, just what are they going to do for parking if we ever get back in the Premier League? A lot of old car parks are gone with the buildings down Stanley Matthews Way.
Well, I think they'll ask more and more people to consider taking public transport. Crouch Potato 1 on the Oatcake says, a great win yesterday, but for me the gloss was taken off it by the injury to Joe, which is a massive blow to himself and us going forward. Also, having seen James McLean arrive yesterday, limping, I'd be surprised if he'd be involved before the international break. So would I, Crouch Potato. But I'm just going to stop calling you Potato now, because Crouch would be unfair to Peter. So I think we'll just rename you Potato One.
Just talking about the polls just for a second. There's three going on my Twitter feed. If you just go onto the like section of at Russell Dutton, you'll find those polls. There was a Man of the Match poll versus Hull, and the four choices I gave you were Powell, Clucas, Campbell and Thompson. Powell is winning the Man of the Match poll at the moment with 57% of the vote, which goes against the sponsor's choice, Ange, which I think was Clucas, a very
nice
rally.
Yes, it was, yeah.
31% for Sam Clucas. We've got a poll going on for the Reading game. Very optimistic support again, considering Reading's upsurging form under Mark Bowen.
Boo-hoo.
And home form. Reading 8%, Ange. Draw 41%. Stoke 51%. So 92% of you think we're going to get a result of some sort next week, which is incredibly positive. And obviously we had to do a question on losing Joe Allen, and will it negatively affect our survival chances? Well, there were four options there, which was yes, it'll badly affect our survival. Yes, it'll cause minor problems. Nope, we can cope just. And no, I've never rated him anyway. And there, if you're wondering at home why I put that choice in, there are people out there who don't rate Joe Allen at all. I just want to let you know that. That was the reason. It's certainly not my view, but there are people out there who really do believe that, who are genuine Stoke fans. Well, to show how much of a percentage of the support that reflects, 2% have gone for no, never rated him anyway. No, we can cope just gets 32%, although I've been admonished by Dave Cartlidge for using the word just after that.
Yes.
If no, we can cope, he wanted me to put in.
Mm.
Yes, can cause minor problems is winning. It will affect us, but it'll be minor problems. 47% of the vote, and nearly one in five of you think it'll really badly affect our survival chances.
What do you think?
I'm in with the majority, I think, who've been on that poll so far. Yes, it'll cause us minor problems, Ange.
I'm with the no, we can cope, omitting the just.
32%. So I'm with the 47%, you're with 32%.
You've always been a follower.
Shall I just deal with the comments on that poll, actually, yes, while we're at it? Neil Price said, definitely going to be a big miss. Booth or Cousins will have to do. Booth did okay. It took him a while to get into the game, and then he had a good run and set up the fifth goal. As I've said, Dave Cartlidge, we will cope. Don't understand the just, though. Potter Gem says, I hope we have enough quality to cope. I've been very encouraged by Thompson. Huge loss, though, Alan. Wishing him a speedy recovery. Liam Stokey says, I wish we can just cope, but he will be missed. His form has completely turned around since Michael O'Neill's arrival. And Mark says he will be missed, but we've got Powell, Thompson and Clucas in fine form with McLean coming back as well. And Jack says, Oakley Booth looked good when he came on going forward, but he needs to improve the defensive side of his game to be a true replacement for Joe Allen. Cousins, on the other hand, needs to improve going forward to be a replacement for Joe. In other words, you're saying there ain't one. There isn't a replacement Joe Allen. I think most teams in this division would struggle to find a replacement for Joe Allen,
before we hear from Michael O'Neill after the game yesterday, you may remember we had the competition for the England under-21 tickets. We had huge entries, and Paul Harvey won the tickets. Now, the FA were very kind. They gave us two adult tickets and two kids tickets. Paul only wants to use the two adult tickets, so when he gets the tickets next week, we'll be telling you how you can get those two junior tickets if you want them. However, obviously, they're going to have to be accompanied by an adult. So if somebody wants the two junior tickets, they're going to have to pay for an adult ticket, because we're not going to give them away to anybody who isn't accompanied by somebody of a certain age. So, Paul, thanks for that. Well done for winning. And we'll be back in touch with people next week on how they can get those tickets.
Ange wants to hear from Michael O'Neill. So, as always, Ange's wish is my command. Here's Michael O'Neill after yesterday.
Yeah, it's devastating for Joe. Obviously, it's a huge blow to us to lose Joe. And huge blow, obviously, with what he had to look forward to in the summer as well with Wales. So devastating for him. And listen, we're obviously delighted with the result. But obviously, it takes the edge off it when that situation occurs, obviously. So, yeah, it's not easy for him. Obviously, our thoughts go with him. And obviously, the club will do everything to look after him and make sure he's back as soon as possible.
What's the nature of his injury?
He's ruptured his Achilles.
So, what did you make of the overall performance?
Performance was very good. We got the performance that we'd asked for from the players. You know, we said it was really important for us to play on the front foot today, and we knew how we have come into this game after a difficult run of form for them. So it's important that you impose yourself in the opposition. I thought we did that right from the word go. You know, we had chances before we scored. Scored three good goals, could have scored more before half time. And then in the second half, I think possibly the situation with Joe didn't probably the players were aware of that. But again, second half, thought, you know, again, it was nice to add to the three goals, but a little bit disappointed, concede, you know, it'd be nice to keep a clean sheet. But overall, it was a great day's work for us in terms of the game, but obviously the injury takes a little bit of the shine off it.
And it's really good to spread the goals around the team.
Yeah, very good. You know, like Sam Cluck is now, I think, 10 goals from midfield, and showed again what a top-class player he is. Different types of finishes, and you know, he's been terrific for me, Sam, since he came in. And I thought Powell as well was, again, showed what he's about, again playing slightly out of position, and to do that and to be as to show that quality and be as dangerous as you are, shows what a quality player Nick is, and his intelligence as well to develop and play in that role. So yeah, we're getting a lot out of, you know, the group, a lot out of the players. I thought there was a lot of good performances. Tom Ince was very good. Jordan Thompson, very good as well. So, back four, no complaints about anyone today, to be honest. You know, it's other than obviously the situation with Joe, it was a perfect day for us, but it takes certainly a bit of the gloss off everything for us.
Also, you must be pretty touched. Good game yourself that last goal.
Yeah, it's good for Tashan coming in. You know, it's a nice situation to come in and play your first game in the Football League, and you're three up, and he has to adapt, I think, a little bit to the nature of the Championship and the hurly-burly nature of it. But, you know, he had a lovely piece of play just before that, and then, you know, showed his quality in setting up the fifth goal. So, you know, he's a young player that we've brought to the club. We brought him here based on, you know, he's got real potential, and he's got great running power as well. I think we saw that in those two instances. So yeah, it was a good start for him. Good start.
Corrida, just for the Mondays.
Okay, thank you.
Corrida for the Mondays, Ange.
We have no way of stopping other people leaving their phone on calls while we're interviewing.
Was that Martin Spinks?
And Martin Spinks battering hard on his laptop because he gets annoyed when people keep asking questions because he has to type them up. But I do think from that little bit at the start when I asked him the question about you know, obviously it was a good performance, but it was soured a bit by the injury to Joe. You could sense how upset he was, and there was a bit of a pause after my question because we just thought, obviously he doesn't want to answer too much today. But he handles himself superbly, and as we've all said, it's a difficult time. So we'll hear from Jordan Thompson later, but I think you want to talk about the ladies now, don't you?
Yeah, there's two games today for the ladies. Both ended up 2-2, actually. Ange, the reserves, drew 2-2 at home with Nottingham Forest. Both games, again, moved from Community Drive, which I think is becoming, I've got to be honest, Ange, and I have to give my honest opinions, you know, on this show, Community Drive is becoming a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I think, you said the drainage wasn't
for Stoke City women. I mean, it must be quite a while now since they've actually managed to get a fixture on there, on those pitches.
Is it the drainage?
Well, they've done drainage work up there. Mm-hmm. And to be frank, I know it takes. I know Andy, the groundsman, and I don't think he did the work, by the way, the lad who looks after Stoke football ground itself, says it takes sometimes a couple of years to actually settle down this drainage work. But obviously, that's a long time to wait for this. And the first team and reserves and development all play up there on separate pitches. They haven't really been fitted. I know we've had three times the rain this winter so far than we had last winter, but it's becoming a bit of a problem, to the extent by today the reserves had to move their match down to the training ground at Clayton Wood, and the development side had to move their match to Stone Dominoes, where most people will know, at Yarnfield down there, where Stoke Ladies used to play. I think it's getting towards the state now, and I've never understood why this isn't actually happening anyway, where the first team should at least be playing on the under-21, under-18s pitch down at Clayton Wood. I just can't understand why they're not doing that already anyway. And the reserves, maybe if there's two fixtures on the same time, play on the 3G pitch on a Sunday, Ange. I just can't understand what's going on. We keep talking about one club, but maybe it's time that we started behaving like one. But that's another.
I don't think you can level that accusation at Stoke. As much as everybody's talking about it being one club, no matter what you talk about on International Women's Day about things being equal, some things are more equal than others, and primarily Stoke City is a male football club, and if Stoke City need to use those pitches on a Sunday, the ladies will always come second. So that's going to be the club's answer. Whether I agree with it or not, it is predominantly a male football club, and there is nothing in the constitution of Stoke City Football Club that says it is a men and ladies football club.
Maybe it's changed. And time it changed.
Yeah, well, maybe it is, but that's up to the owners.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, but this is a long roundabout way of saying that these ladies have had a really disrupted winter because of the weather. And they've got a lot of games to catch up with now because
of the state of the pitches. They've still got a lot of games.
They've got a lot of games to catch up with, which is another issue, which is obviously the girls are playing on Wednesday night at West Bromwich Albion, catching up a match that was called off earlier on in the season. And these ladies are not paid, you know, and some of the ladies are probably going to have to leave work early to play at West Bromwich Albion on Wednesday night. And it's perhaps things that people don't quite understand. You know. Yeah. Anyway, coming right back to the football. The reserves drew 2-2 today with Nottingham Forest. Michelle Saunders and Sophie Garrett scored the goals in that one, and that took place, like I say, at Clayton Wood. And then the development side drew 2-2 with Shifnal Town. Emma Henderson put the development side ahead, and A late equaliser was scored in that game, which really is a poor result again for the development side. But they're missing Caitlin Chapman and Megan Hunt still. Megan Hunt's still out with injury, who's a captain and a really important player for that team. Caitlin's obviously away, as you saw on the big screen, with having an interview with Ange yesterday with Northern Ireland. So they're two massive players for that particular team, and they're definitely missing them. But I think they'll be missing them for good shortly because they'll be moving up in the development.
You can't decry anybody that's got to be an international. And has, I think Caitlin's a massive Stoke supporter.
Yeah.
It probably is clouding her judgment this year on whether she should stay or not. But for her own development, she will have to go and play Super League football for another team because that's what she's needing to do if she's going to be better. And we wish anybody that's come through the Stoke ranks, whether it's a young boy or a young girl, all the best, because they, whatever you say, they've represented Stoke City and they'll always be a Stokey.
This the equalising goal, by the way, for the development side was scored by Becky Kite, so well done to her. Like I say, the next action for the women is Wednesday away at West Bromwich Albion, and I keep repeating myself, there is a massive, massive game coming up in April for the first team of Stoke City women in the League Cup final, which is the biggest game Stoke City women have ever had against Sunderland. Still a venue yet to be confirmed,
yeah,
Ange.
I know.
Nice
if it was at Clayton Wood, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but I think, well, no, not really, because Sunderland have already beat us at Clayton Wood this season.
It'd be
so
quite nice for our lot. It'll be somewhere neutral, won't it?
It's going to be neutral, but I have spoken to a number of people this week who, if it had already been confirmed, would know, and it's not yet been confirmed. I understand this for sponsors' reasons. They're waiting to make an announcement on something to do with that. So as soon as we know, we'll let you know.
Yeah. Jacob on the Oatcake says, Joe will be a great miss for the team. We have to adjust and pray that there are no other significant injuries. We need everyone available for selection. And that's a really good point, because if we have a couple of more injuries, like any team, I guess, at this stage of the season, you're going to be struggling. But with the games coming now and the pitches being a bit heavy and legs getting a bit tired, it's really important that we rest and recover well, and I'm glad we've got a whole week before we play Reading.
I'm not sure we've got as many excuses as clubs like Hull have, though, Ange. If they've got six out, I mean, we have actually got six players who can come in, who are a better standard than their players produced yesterday. So I'm not sure we've got many excuses.
Let us know your teams for Saturday and how you would line up, replacing Alan and having whoever as captain.
As a case in point, Ange, how many teams would want to play Ryan Shawcross and Nathan Collins as their centre back pairing, and we've got them both on the bench.
On the bench, yeah.
So I mean, I don't think we've got them. We've got, Who would have Tom Edwards as playing right back for that? He's on the bench. You know, I mean, left back we're obviously struggling if Bruno goes down, but we have got, and forwards we've got plenty of choices as well. Although Tardis again is really stepping up to the plate, I think.
He took his penalty well.
He certainly did, and I was confidently sitting there saying to me, I've never seen him miss one for the under 23s. I was saying Nick Hancock, as you know, Ange, always goes out into the concourse when we've got a penalty. He went out because he can't watch him. But I was sitting there confidently thinking, well, Tardis, I've never seen him miss. So, and he took that penalty. The keeper went the right way and he still didn't have a chance.
No.
Roger Barnett says, team for Saturday, Butland, Smith, Chester, Bart, Bruno, Martins, Indy, Thompson, Clucas, Cousins, Powell, Ince and Campbell, and a 2-1 win for Stoke, says Roger. Craig Fallows is being a bit harsh, I think, here. He says, am I being a bit harsh? He says, you think Oakley Booth looked out of his depth? It was like playing with 10 men in the second half. But he looked neat and tidy in the final third. And even I think he knows he's being a bit harsh because he says he is.
I actually thought the first 20 minutes that he was on, I thought, wow, he's getting knocked off the ball very easily here. So I wouldn't disagree there.
Isn't it the same with every academy player, though, I have seen come into first team football at any level, Ange?
What?
That they do, they aren't prepared for that physical challenge that they get in the first team football.
Or
everywhere.
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, okay. That was an exception.
There's two exceptions.
Yeah, how many
others? If you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah. I mean, the physicality of it, though. Rooney was an exception.
I
see players.
There's a young lad played for Chelsea in the last two matches.
Yeah, he's done well. Gilmore is his name. Everybody's raving about him, aren't they?
He's a little thin lad who you would probably think, yeah, oh, you can blow him over.
Yeah.
It's not happened yet.
But they do. Well, I'm only quoting one of your favourite managers, Tony Pulis, who says they need to go out on loan to be toughened up.
But as you know, he wasn't right with most decisions. He was right with every decision but that one.
Anyway, Lee Fallow says Oakley Booth isn't quite ready. He showed some glimpses of what he can produce, though, he says. Martin Eagle says, is the fans forum going ahead as planned tomorrow? Half expected the club to cancel it based on all this corona business.
I believe it's going ahead tomorrow. I can't imagine that they would leave it to the last minute to stop it.
This is interesting. Neil Price says, Neil Price got close enough to the players to speak when apparently they shouldn't have been. Because he said he saw McLean arrive at the ground yesterday and had a limp, and he asked him, and he said he'd had a little knock in training. Let's hope it clears up and he's available for the weekend. So there you are, he's already been training, according to Neil Price.
Not with the first team squad, he hasn't.
Okay, but that's good to see.
Until you're training at the first team squad, you're hardly likely to be selected to play for the first team.
He's hardly been keeping it a secret anyway, Ange, with his Instagram posts showing all the work he's been doing and stuff. As young Bojan never always let you know what he was doing on social media.
You mentioned the Bojan word.
Yes, I know. Sarah Bailey says, Powell, Bart or Chester for captain. But how we've missed Shawcross as captain, as he was commanding from the touchline yesterday. So vocal, and that's what we need. The scoreline yesterday reminded me of the good old days when we were beating Liverpool or the FA Cup semi-final. Now, Sarah, it wasn't quite the same standard of opposition. Funnily enough, I had a look down that Bolton line-up who we were playing against the other day, you know, in that 5-0 game. It was a pretty decent side, that was on paper. Klukas, Powell, Thompson were fabulous yesterday. We'll miss Allen, but on a positive, I thought Oakley Booth was fab on his debut, with great feet and some good runs, especially in the assist with the goal. Oh, that was brilliant.
He's got very quick feet.
That was brilliant. And let's be honest, Ange, you don't play in the final of an under-19 World Cup side and win it if you've got no talent, do you?
He's under-17.
Whatever. Mm. You know what I mean. Does it matter? Well, it does matter to some people.
Yeah,
but, you
2 years.
Yeah, two
but
years.
But no, I agree with you. He's obviously a class player.
Yeah, and we're perhaps we're lucky to have him. I think he may be Allen's replacement, but I don't think McLean should come straight back into this team. He'll be on the bench for me. And I wouldn't put Powell in Allen's place either, as he's played the best played further up the pitch. On another note, what a massive mistake it was letting Hogan go. Now, here we go again. 8-10 now for Hogan, isn't it, Ange?
I don't know.
Incredible. Yeah. But as we've tried to explain on this show on previous weeks, I think it's purely down to the fact that he was never going to be playing in this formation that we have got. Whether you think he should have changed the formation to actually accommodate Hogan if he was in this sort of goal scoring form, and you can imagine Campbell and Hogan playing together, that might be a bit exciting, but that's going to be a moot point because it's never going to happen now, is it, Ange?
Yeah.
Duncan Ridgway says it was great to see us go Knapp. That's twice now, isn't it? Under first game as well as this one. Adrian Oldfield says, I posted this on my Facebook this week. Hell of a lot to be said for regular correct hand washing. When his daughter was in isolation, semi-isolation after her transplants, my wife and I washed our hands extremely regularly as recommended. The upshot was we didn't even get a sniffle for over 2 years. I have to, this is what I, and we're, you know, maybe some of us are guilty of this as well. It's just basic hygiene.
It is.
Is it not? You're being asked about it. You're asked to perform.
And regarding that post from Adrian, which he's put the link on, I did see it, and I did think at the time, sometimes we're guilty of neglecting things that we should do more often. And it is amazing, though. You know, we've had so many people talking tonight about hand washing, soap, sanitizer. It's amazing how maybe the one good that can come out of this is people actually becoming a bit more clean.
Well, yeah, but it's some of the things that you're seeing on the pictures and everything and what people are doing, it's quite ridiculous, isn't it, with regard to buying stuff and whatever. It's crazy. Ben Cliff says, Oakley Booth looked poor when he came on, was on the floor more times than anything, looked weak, and he was caught out of position a lot. He did well for the fifth goal, but I would be playing Cousins instead of him. But O'Neill bought him for a reason, so I trust him to come good.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Ben.
It's also ridiculous to judge a player after 45 minutes, I must say.
And KU Stokey says, Waddington wouldn't let Dennis Smith train with the players when he was 16 because he was afraid he'd hurt them. On the other hand, TC was 19 when he started and had twig legs. If you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah, and we've been seeing a lot of the old footage of the 1972 Cup Final this week, haven't we? It doesn't get old.
No.
Doesn't get old seeing that. You still get emotional when you see it.
I still wait for Mickey Bernard's back pass to go in.
My mum and dad never forgave Mickey
Bernard.
I never
forgave him.
I think he gave him heart failure at the time with that pass. Thank God for Gordon Banks. If you don't realise what we're on about, check the highlights out in the last few seconds, that was, wasn't it, Ange?
Yeah,
about the last 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Oh, crimes. Imagine if that had happened. Chris Gallimore says, first goal was a great team goal. It certainly was. Massive.
Fourth was too.
Yeah. Massive three-game week coming up. And I have to say, no excuses for our club compared to a lot of other clubs because we've got plenty of players to use. And a lot of other clubs will be using the same players every game. And I know Michael O'Neill doesn't want to make too many changes, Ange, but he's got plenty of players like Nathan Collins, people like that to come in if he doesn't think James Chester can do it. Ryan Shawcross on the bench, presumably available. Will he come in? He's got plenty of options if he needs it.
Yeah, and just a point about the fourth goal. I'm on about the way the ball was delivered.
Yeah.
Bart headed
it
across and then it was headed in.
Clearly worked on. Dan Eyre says, I think despite his first 20 minutes, this was a case of Tashan Oakley-Booth getting up to speed in a championship match setting. Here. After finding his feet, he showed what he has to offer and his great potential. That said, I agree that if we need a defensive counter-attacking setup, he's not yet ready. But that will come with time and more match experience and development. He's much better when we're on the front foot. I thought it was a great substitution on the basis that even the most pessimistic Stoke fan wouldn't have thought on the base of that first half we were going to chuck that away. So, you know, he gave him 45 minutes in the perfect scenario to give him 45 minutes, didn't he?
Yeah.
Stevie Breeze says, we were okay in the Seddon. They don't have doors. We're back to the toilets again, Ange. And Stokey Matt says, Russ, be careful. Every which Angela Smith commands, which is something I said about 15 minutes ago, you might find yourself unable to speak. Is this true, Ange?
I have no idea what he means.
No, I don't know what he means.
You'll have to be more explicit.
And Dan Eyre says, there's a health and safety issue that you have to have separation between the toilets and the food preparation areas. Having doors off would fall foul of that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
Look, can I just say that Russell's got this thing about men's toilet doors, and if you want to discuss it with him on Facebook or via direct message after the show, fantastic.
Banksliff says this show should be renamed Bog FM. Sarah Bailey says, and who doesn't normally wash their hands anyway, especially after going to the toilet? Dirty people. Well,
it's
I'm telling you now.
Put, but I agree with you.
I'm telling you now. I've seen loads and loads and loads of people at Stoke alone going to the toilet and then just walking straight out
and
the door,
hands
holding the door. Honestly. So there's plenty of dirty people out there, Sarah. I can tell you that. Who are probably washing their hands for the first time in a public convenience. Anyway, Lee Gould says, forget about the playoffs. Stay out. Stay up. Clear out. And rebuild. Are we clearing out, Lee? At the moment, I'm not particularly anxious to get rid of anyone, Ange. Apart from maybe a forward or two.
I think we're just jumping the gun a bit here. I'd rather us get safe first, but I certainly think there's some players that should leave Stoke City.
We've got rid of quite a lot of players, though, haven't we?
Yeah, but only on loan, a lot of them.
Well, there we go. But they're not with us.
No.
The players who are with us at the moment, apart from Manjeef, who'll definitely be going anyway at the end of the season, won't he? Because he's out of contract.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would people get rid of other than the ones who are already out on loan?
Well, I think Adam Federici will be going. I think if you look at the defence, there's going to be question marks about a couple of the defenders. We haven't got that many forwards to get rid of.
Duncan Ridgway says, can't believe this is turning into a coronavirus debate. The football wasn't that bad. Yeah, but it's implicating, it's going to involve football. That's why we're talking about it. And I don't want to give my opinion too openly, but I think the situations that's happening in Italy, I don't think we'll get to that stage where we've got a situation that bad, I hope, and he's touching wood. But I do think we'll get in a situation not too distant future, maybe even tomorrow, where there's a decision made that games in April, possibly, will be, because that's what the experts predict, will be played behind closed doors. I think that's possibly what we'll have.
And while we're talking about this, and I'm probably guilty of this more than most people, it's not just hand washing, not touching your face is equally as important, says K.U. Stokey. The average person touches their face 22 times in an hour. That's how viruses get in. Transfer of droplets from hands to nose to mouth and eyes. The other thing I was going to say is that people that wear contact lenses, myself included, you've got to be extremely careful at this moment in time.
Well, I wear contact lenses too. So, yeah.
You had your eyes tested recently.
Why?
Well, because some of the things you see at football matches with your lenses in, they're completely different to me with mine.
I shall move swiftly on from that. Stuart Law says, Delilah's bar, having a drink before the game is about to start, getting there 2.5 hours before kick-off. We often found no seats and a table is a rare find. Is he asking, is that a question for the fans?
I don't know, but it's good to know it's busy. I'm not ever going to suggest you take your own table, but thanks for that.
I'm sure that's a point for your agenda, obviously. Steve Roberts says, can we recall any of our loaned out midfield players?
I don't think we can.
I think Angie said she wouldn't have them back anyway.
No, I don't think we can. I think they're loaned out and that's it.
And funnily enough, Ben Cliff said, I don't want any of them back, and Lee Gould agrees with him. Dan Eyre says, on International Women's Day, I'd like to give a big shout out to the women's team for how well they've done over the last few years and being a shining light during the darker times for the men's team. Another shout at the risk of making her blush is for Ange for the amazing sacrifices that she did for the game of squash, especially for women, and for the period of moving towards professionalism. You ladies and others like you are the shining lights to the sisters and daughters in our lives who are so positive and enjoying sports they wouldn't think they could, rugby and football. Isn't that lovely, Ange?
Very nice, and thank you very much.
And I'll say to you that I had the privilege of watching Keele University women's rugby team on Friday night playing in the semi-final of a cup competition at Newcastle Rugby Club. Sadly, they lost. But boy oh boy, it's just the same as football. If you've never watched a women's rugby match, get down there and watch them. Because if you think it's easy, it ain't. There was three or four girls who came off that pitch with either broken arms, dislocated arms, or it was violent stuff. You know, they were mashing into one another. So, you know, if you ever see a women's rugby game and think, I'm not going to go down there and watch that, it was seriously, and it was great stuff to watch, so... fair play to Keele University, unlucky to them.
While we're on the last few subjects of personal hygiene, KU Stokey says, also, coronavirus doesn't come from the nether regions. I think that's Holland. It's important to wash hands frequently. Just doing that after going to the toilet is a good habit of personal hygiene, so thanks for that.
It's a very good habit, but it's not exercised very often at Stoke.
No, and thanks, Dan, for your comments. We will listen to Jordan Thompson in a minute, and that hopefully will then get everybody's mind off the coronavirus.
Well, I'm catching up on Facebook, so obviously you think people are responding to things we spoke about quite a while ago, but I'm trying my best to catch up. Stuart Law says, myself and my friends agree that Thompson has improved our free kicks and corners a great amount. Yeah, he's done really well, the lad. And I'm thinking he's probably, unlike a lot of signings we've had in the recent past who've not been involved in the first team football after they've come, I'm sure he's delighted he's joined us from Blackpool and getting all the minutes he's been getting. Ben says, who won the quiz question? Has it been drawn out yet? And could the England game get cancelled anyway, especially with our international squad and fans visiting? This is a great question and something I hadn't really thought of, but it's quite possible.
In answer to your question, I did say earlier you might have missed it. Paul Harvey won the tickets. As regards the match going ahead, who knows?
I think what you've got to realise, folks, is things are going to change on a daily basis. And I'd say if you need any advice, ring the 111. I think it's 111, isn't it?
Yeah.
And your helpline. But please be patient in ringing those people, because I think the advice those people are dealing with and giving you is changing on a daily basis too. So, and I think the information you're going to get from government is going to change. But keep an eye out tomorrow, because I understand from listening to the radio this afternoon that the government are meeting with broadcasters and everyone involved with football tomorrow to decide what they're going to do. I mean, they may not release the decision what they've made tomorrow, but they're going to obviously talk about the effect that all this is undoubtedly going to have, folks. I'm sorry to be negative about it. I mean, there's no way, I don't think, at some point or another it's going to affect us. But
well, Ray from Malta said yesterday that they'd got their first case in Malta. Somebody had come back from Italy on holiday. Varna Potter says, hi from Bulgaria. Today all large public gatherings have been banned, all games behind closed doors, all cinemas, theatres, concerts and exhibitions closed, schools and universities closed, and today we had our first 4 coronavirus patients confirmed. These closures are for the foreseeable future. So, as Ross says, it's pointless us speculating here, because we just don't know from a daily basis what's going to happen.
I'm sure next week we'll be having a different discussion about decisions that have been made. So we'll see anyway. Jack Holmes says, having McLean back will help us cope without Alan. Ben Cliff says, I just want to say the fourth goal was superb, clearly something from the training ground, like we said, Ange. And I'm glad to see us doing things like that. It's hard to defend against if it comes off like it did yesterday. Yeah, it certainly was. It was great work. And it wasn't as easy a finish as Lucas made it look either, I'll tell you. Scott Price says, Joe Allen has played well since Michael O'Neill has arrived. I've always rated him. He wins the ball back brilliantly. He's just another scapegoat for fans to have a moan at. Jackie Sadula says, I've said to a few of my regular customers, we would do a penalty. I wish I'd had a bet on, but I did have a bet on for some reason, 5-0. I said to my brother at 4-0, all are going to score and scupper my bet. It's your fault then, is it, Jackie? Dan Eyre says, I got 4 results right for Stoke and originally put us down to lose 1-0 to Reading. I'm not trying to be negative, but I think it may be a 1-0 loss. But I think we'll still push on and get results against teams like Bury, please, he says, and others, and be safe. I think the way we've played at home in particular is a great comfort to a lot of supporters at the moment. And the way we played at Barnsley, you have to think that if we play well against Barnsley, we'll get 3 points, and the same against Bury. Although Bury don't concede too many goals, to be honest. So it might be a tighter affair. Judith says, at last we found somebody who can score a penalty, which is true. Ben Cliff says, I blame Joe for having his hair cut on the end. I wondered who was going to mention this. He did have his bonnet cut, didn't he, this week? I bet it's even gone through his mind since the injury, you know, if he's a superstitious person. His hair holds all his strength and quality. It's majestic. Him cutting it made him lose all his powers. Joe, don't cut your hair while you're in hospital. That way you'll get better faster. It was unusual to see, I dare I say, smart Joe Allen with a smart haircut. But who knows? Anyway, who knows what the gods have in store. Gary Eagle says, why not move Stoke Ladies' games to Northwood Stadium?
Well, I mean, I don't even know if the pitch is free.
So. I don't even know if the pitch is good enough, quite frankly. Michael Purcell says, very harsh. This is in relation to Tashan Oakley Booth. He's a 20-year-old with no first team experience, playing in the most physical division in the country, and he's only been at the club 2 months. I think he did well for what he did, and he looks a very good prospect for the future of our club. Andy Fernio's late joining the party tonight, he says. Thought a few Hull fans that came were terrific, unlike their owners. I know we've had it hard recently, but I'd rather be in our position than theirs. Yeah, they did make a lot of noise, and they certainly made their views known in relation to the chairman either, if any of you heard that.
And I think that's a good point, because as many of us as talk on this show or get in touch with us say they'd like the owners to do more, I wouldn't swap our owners for a lot of them out there.
Ben Cliff says, team for Reading, Butland, Smith, Bart, Chester, Bruno, Thompson, Cousins, Clucas, Inks, Ince, Vokes and Powell. Shall we have a word about Ince, Andrew? I thought he played well again yesterday, and he even took players on the outside on his right foot.
Yeah, a couple of times.
That must have been confident.
I'm not going to try and down the bloke, but if he couldn't play well yesterday against that team, he'll never play well.
And he missed a chance with his right foot that again. I wish he'd had on his left, yeah. Because then the second half...
At least he smiles when he misses the chances.
He does. Lee Fallows' team is Butland, Bruno, Bart, Chester, Smith, Cousins, Clucas, Thompson, Ince, Campbell and Powell. And Neil's team for Reading... Neil Price, Butland, Smith, Bart, Chester, Bruno, Cousins, Thompson, Clucas, Ince, Powell, Campbell, and Reading 1, Stoke 2.
What and one person's picked Bart as captain, haven't we?
Warren Backhouse is very harsh in Oakley Booth. Thought he got better as the game went on, showed some promising skill in his time, his favourite position. I have faith in O'Neill, will turn him round and into the diamond like Thompson is proving to be. And Martin Eagles goes for Reading. His team has Butland, Bruno Martins, Indy, Barth as captain, Chester, Smith, Oakley Booth, Clucas, Thompson, Ince, Campbell and Powell. Andy Furnio says the situation's got so bad that he's even heard the Vale fans have thought about washing themselves. I read that is not me, not my comment. So any abuse that comes flowing in from Vale fans watching this Facebook, I'm just reading out what people have said. Gary Pardy says, hold on, some of people are not forgetting something. Let's think back to when we were relegated. Our professional experienced players could not hack the tempo. For God's sake, he's going to be one of the best players in this league next season. Ben Cliff says, it's weird we're talking about Hogan. I'm currently watching the EFL on Quest, and his goal was gifted to him by a mistake by a defender. He also missed a sitter from 2 yards out. The difference is, Hogan didn't fit our system. He plays better with a big man up top, but that isn't O'Neill's way, and not many managers will change their ways for one player. Plus, if Hogan had stayed, we may not have seen the rise of Tyrese. Brilliant post. I think
yeah,
that's very,
true.
Very, very fair comments. Tim Gibson says, what time does the fridge auction start? What's that mean? There's a lot of nonsense on there. Jay Skigg says, Stevie Breeze, Powell hasn't got that pace, the desire to win the ball back as much as Alan, to be fair, mate. I wouldn't put Tash and Oakley Booth in there either. We need a Jack Russell type. Player small, fast and hungry. Does he mean Darryl Russell?
I think he probably means the dog, Jack Russell.
Oh, does he mean?
But, you know.
Here we are. There's a lot of nonsense on here now. Have you got anything else on Facebook, Ange?
Well, I'm not on Facebook. But we are. I'd rather us listen to Jordan Thompson than discuss the merits of a fridge.
Yes, I would. Let's hear from Jordan Thompson.
Result, 5 goals. How does that feel?
That was brilliant. Obviously, we started off very well. Put them on the back foot today. And obviously we had the quality in the final third to put the goals away.
Throughout the whole match, everyone seemed to be so confident on the ball, and it was positivity, and it was great to see.
Yeah, obviously we do that in training. Obviously we want to have a good structure behind us and play from there. And then obviously our attacking players, once they go forward, we know what they're capable of doing.
We had plenty of chances today right until the final whistle. Do you think it could have been even more than five?
Obviously there's chances where we might have got sloppy or took an extra touch or we didn't get a shot away, but obviously when you're 5 goals up, it might creep into your game, but obviously we want to kick on and try and get as many goals as we can.
It seemed that Hull couldn't cope today when we were on the attack. As a team, we continued to make it difficult for them.
Yeah, as I said, obviously from the start of the match, we put them on the back foot, and obviously the early goals helped us, but I thought we controlled the game very well. Obviously, how do we... period in the second half, but apart from that, there, what we're bringing today.
Besides the fact that Hull obviously managed to pull a goal back, how important was it a team to maintain a professional performance right until the final whistle?
No, as I say, we've got that structure behind us. We'll work on it during the week, so we know we can't get too sloppy. And obviously, whenever you've got the quality players around you, it's always going to help.
It doesn't look good for Joe Allen after today. However, it wouldn't harm to say that with you currently playing so well, it's encouraging that you can keep your place of result, maybe?
Yes, obviously, I just want to, for myself, I want to play as many games as I can. And obviously, it works on the training pitch. And obviously, during the games, just play as well as I can. But obviously, for Joe, it's a disappointing one for him. I didn't actually see what happened, but all the boys have got it for him.
Next week, we face Reading away from home. How important will it be to take today's positivity into that fixture?
Yeah, as I said, obviously, we want to put teams on the back foot, early doors, and we want to go there next week and try and get 3 points. So we'll be looking to go and do that.
For those of you that have trouble understanding the young man, he's certainly got his accent to lose to become a Potter. And for those of you that are still tuning in wanting to find out about the fridge, I'm sorry, it's gone.
Anyway, Steve Breeze says, thought Bruno was solid yesterday. Some bloke in Block 29 has an irrational hatred for a bloke boarding on Tourette's. I think he's been steady at left back for most games. Ben Cliff asking for a translation on what Jordan Thompson has said. And Dan Eyre is asking me about blocking trolls on Facebook. It looks like a group have found the joy of drinking. Or their mum's hooch stash, chuckling at their awesome high jinx. Well, you can safely be reassured, Ben, Dan, that they won't be commenting on this page any longer.
If you pardon the pun, they've been frozen out.
They've been frozen out, as you've asked. Anyway,
Charlotte. I did think one of them was very good about the
silver-haired. What was it? Silver. Cougar.
I think it was something like that.
Silverhead, you're a silverhead cougar.
There's a little Jack Russell next to me. Callus 12 said,
"Hi mate, I know this gentleman."
He didn't say hi mate. He said, "I think that the fact that Jack Butland was made captain in Joe's absence for the second half yesterday means that he'll remain captain for the foreseeable future unless Shawcross returns back to the first 11 soon."
Right, let's talk about Super 6 while we've got...
Steve Breeze now leaping to the front of the queue.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, now listen, this was a big week this week. I can't get anywhere near the scores some people are getting at the moment. Michael Hall was top of the tree on 17 points, Ange, which is...
That's great.
One correct, well, three correct scores, and one just got it the right, you know, got the score the right way. So that's 17 points, which is a fantastic score. James Gibbs got 14 in second place, and many, many others got 14. Lee Gould, Matthew Pye, Dan Eyre, Andy Harrington, Steve Roberts on 12, Anthony Elliott on 12, Tina Priestley on 12, Mark Calladine on 11, David Balderson on 11, Robert Taylor on 11, and your mate, Stevie Breeze, on 11. So, overall, we've got Pete Hollity in the lead now, Ange, on 368. Paul Stokes on 362, Bill James on 361, Matthew Stafford on 353, Stevie Breeze,
the cheat,
in fifth place now.
He won't last.
On 352, Dan and Evans on 350 in sixth, Dan Eyre, who's you can see responding on Facebook, on 348, Craig Ald on 348, Angela Smith on 348. And Mark Green, who's in third place not that long ago, is back down in 12th place on 341. Glyn Rosbandowski,
who?
Glyn Rosbandowski is in 13th place on 337. Now then, do you want to know what I've gone for on my prediction for this weekend?
Yes.
1-1 I've gone for.
Okay.
And I've gone for McLean As the scorer, but it doesn't sound like I might be right there, Ange.
Well, your mate's just said hello, Ross. Cheers for the mention. Hi to you too, Ange.
It just shows you I've got a memory, anyway.
Well,
so
I
can remember. I can remember who it is. And you still haven't got in touch with me, mate, about you know what. So
he's not a friend then.
He's
it's
a very good friend. He's a very good friend.
Well, I'm very pleased to meet you.
He didn't realise he was that high down there on Super 6, is.
Well, don't get too cocky, Dan, because, you know...
Is he out of view?
Ross will always...
He is.
Ross will always come back. From what position are you in, Ross?
From 40-something.
From 40-something position to have a wondrous couple of weeks.
I'm having a disaster. So, worst Super 6 season I've ever had.
Yeah, like you said that last season and the season before. However, if I could just say at this moment in time, don't bother asking me for my prediction, because obviously you only think people care about what you say. I think Reading will beat us 2-1 for no other reason than I can't imagine Stoke giving us an easy time. So my heart says 1-1, my head says 2-1 for Reading. And I'm not a big fan of Mr. Bowen, and I won't be a fan of him at all if they manage to beat us.
Will you ask him about Moritz Bauer in the post-match interview?
If I get the chance to speak to him, I mean, we might not be allowed to speak to them, might we? We might have to keep a comfortable distance, and that's assuming it all takes place.
Scott Price says, Michael O'Neill has a record of 10 wins and 4 draws, and it's around 36 goals scored since he became our manager. That's great, isn't it?
It just goes to show that having a bit of sense and good organisation and playing people in their rightful positions can go a long way to helping. I mean, when he came in, let's be honest, I don't think many of us felt we had too much chance of pulling away. I'm not saying too many people thought we'd get relegated. We all thought it was a distinct possibility. But we have got a chance of pulling clear with the matches we've got in March.
Jackie Sedula says, probably been mentioned, but what an amazing stat this is. We haven't scored 3 goals, it has been mentioned, for more than 88 games. And since O'Neill has come in, we've done it 6 times. 22 league games. Fabulous. Now then, we've got loads of score predictions here, so I'm going to do these very, very slowly so everybody gets their say in. Martin Eagles has gone for Reading 1, Stoke 3. Dan Eyre says, I was 22 a few weeks ago. Is that what he means?
I think he means position.
Oh, he was in 22nd position.
Yeah, so there's still hope for you, Russell.
Yeah, that's
true.
Should
get into the 40s.
Stevie Breeze has gone for Reading 1, Stoke 2. Carl Vegas Ash on Twitter has said it's a tough game, but he's got to be happy with a draw away. I think I'd be happy with that as well. Ben Cliff says 1-1 against Reading. Vokes with the goal. Jackie Steele says we'll be happy with a draw. Reading. Jay Denning says Reading 1, Charlie Adam to score, Stoke City 2.
He was on the bench yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, he'll come on against us, I'll bet. Dan Eyre says same here, a 1-0 Reading win. Ben Davies says 2-2 Stoke versus Reading. That was a score last season there, wasn't it? They got a late goal, didn't they? A late equaliser. As I said last week, that was the...
It wasn't a great match at Stoke this season.
No, but the goal that Tom Ince scored last year at Reading was an absolutely spectacular one, on the volley right into the top corner.
Right.
It was a great goal.
Nice if he did that again.
Yeah, it would be. And how many chances he's had lately, who's to say he's not going to pop up on the score sheet next week? Gary Pardy says Reading 2, Stoke 2. Judith Barnett says Stoke 2, Reading 1 with 2 goals from Nick Powell. That would be great. It'd be great if we get a result next week. Brilliant. Gary Eagle says, Russ, regarding your comments on the pitch at Northwood Stadium, I can see the pitch from my house and it's always been in good condition. I think you're missing the holes that are caused by shot putting and stuff like that, though, Gary. Games have been played there week in, week out. You need to give it a visit. Who plays there, then? Do you know?
Well, they hire the pitch out, but that was my point. I mean, you don't know if the pitch has been hired out for months in advance. And England have beaten Japan.
Ellen White. Ellen White scores the winning goal on International Women's Day for England. Yeah, great stuff. Steve Roberts has gone for 3-2 against Reading, and for some reason he's given us his prediction for the Borough game as well, but I will read it out. Stoke 3, Borough 1. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll be the first side to score 3 goals against Middlesbrough for quite a while, if we do.
And KU Stokey says Reading 1, Stoke 2. And if you look at the week beginning with the Reading...
Keep your predictions coming in,
by the
way.
Game, if you look at that week, we've got Reading on Saturday, assuming that everything goes ahead as normal, Middlesbrough on the Wednesday, and then Wigan the following Saturday. So, in my opinion, this is a very, very big 8 days for Stoke City.
Just an update on the polls while we're...
how long have we got with the polls?
It just says, it doesn't give you a time on how long. Okay. But you've probably got about 10 minutes left to vote on these polls, okay, if I've done my calculations correctly, which is probably untrue. Man of the match versus Hull. Powell is still in the lead on 57% of the vote. Klukas in second place on 31% of the vote. Thompson in third place on 8% of the vote. Campbell in last place on 4% of the vote. Result versus Reading poll. Now then, still Reading on 8%, Ange? 8%. Mm-hmm. Draw, 42%. Stoke, 50%. And the final one is... Will losing Joe Allen for the season negatively affect Stoke City's survival chances? Yes, badly affects survival, 19%. Can cause minor problems, 47%. We can cope, just 32%. And no, never rated him anyway, 2%. Now then, Scott Price has gone for a 1-1 draw. He'll take a 1-1 draw, but he thinks Stoke will win 2-1 anyway. You got anything there?
Right, well, I've just read out KU Stokey's one, but Chris Dunn has got in touch with us. You know that we often say we get people listening to us from all over the world. Well, Chris Dunn's obviously in Iraq at the moment, so I'm assuming he's a soldier. But he's saying, thanks for entertaining us here, and he thinks Stoke will make a draw at one each at Reading. Enjoy the show. Best wishes to everybody back home. So thanks, Chris, and thank you if you are a soldier for everything you're doing out there at the moment.
Yeah, and stay safe, because that particular virus that we've been talking about is quite prevalent out there, isn't it, Ange? Judith Barnett says, 7 points in the next 3 games, that'll be absolutely magic. Certainly will.
Yeah.
And it's a big week this week, isn't it, Ange? Because there's all sorts going on, isn't there? It's not just the Reading game. We've got Tuesday night, the under-18s are playing against Manchester City at Manchester City's Academy in the Premier League Cup.
And I would suggest that anybody that can get there, it's obviously free to go in. If you're not just going there, it's a nice little stadium, but Rory's lad plays for Man City too, Rory Delap's lad, and he's a fine player, and he's worth a watch. But it would be great if as many people as possible from Stoke can go up and watch that game. So,
well, Manchester City will have to play well to beat us.
Well, I hope so, and I'm sure they will play well. But before that, tomorrow, you've got the Meet the Manager if you're a season ticket holder. We'd be quite interested in your thoughts on that next week. I can tell you now that all the questions will be collected, and people will be able to pick out a question from the aforementioned collected vessel and read it out. I don't think for a minute there's going to be any vetting of questions, which is what most people suggest might happen. Marco of Stoke says, Ross, unless the game is called off, we'll get a result, 100% guaranteed, says Marco of Stoke. So, yeah, Monday, meet the manager, vice chairman and our beloved CEO. Tuesday, we've got the match at Manchester City. Anything else on Wednesday, Thursday?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yes, there is. Well, obviously, the match at Manchester City Academy I'm going to, because I've been watching the under-18s a lot this season, and myself and Vanessa will be going up to watch that. I don't know whether you will as well, Ange. But,
I'm planning to.
It should be great. And that side is really exciting. And if you haven't seen the under-18s yet, please do go, because they're tremendously exciting. There's so much talent going on at Stoke in that side at the moment. Don't put too much pressure on the lads, but they, you know, hopefully they're listening tonight, and we believe in you and you're absolutely fantastic. Wednesday night the under-23s will be playing in the Staff Senior Cup semi-final.
Right, yes.
against Kidsgrove Athletic at Kidsgrove at the Autonet Stadium, Ange. So there's big games virtually all week this week. And it won't be a walkover to Kidsgrove, I can tell you that, because they play some fantastic football. And I've watched them quite a lot lately. So it'll be a big test. It'll be a big test for Ireland 23 side. But they've certainly got some talent there too. So if you go, I don't know what the situation is with the cost pricing on Wednesday. Normally for that type of fixture at Kidsgrove, I think it's about £5 to get in. I think it's about £9 normally on a league game. So probably if Ben Cliff is listening, he'll probably be able to tell me what it's like. He is listening now because he's just posted on Facebook. So Ben, if you are listening, what do you think the entrance fee will be? I've got a feeling it'll be about £5 on Wednesday, and I'm trying my very best to get there on Wednesday too. Okay. Gary Eagles is urging me to go to Northwood Stadium and see the facilities. I'll change my mind. Well, I have been not that long ago, Gary, for something to do with my daughter, but I wasn't particularly examining the grass surface. Ted says 5 points in the next three matches. Will you be happy with that, Ange?
Yeah.
Ted says they'll be in Manchester on Tuesday and at the under-23s at Kidsgrove on Wednesday. Stokey Matt's gone for Reading 1, Stoke 1. Dan Eyre says, I've just realised next season is my 30th following Stoke. After coming over as a young German boy and seeing my first game at the Victoria Ground against Preston. Boo. What a fantastic time with the ups and downs, but mainly ups. Thanks to my Stoke-loving stepdad for bringing me up on those Booth steps with the smell of smoke and other things. Seeing the sights of Macari Steen and the move to the Brit, Pulis and Fuller, and the Oatcake and the old website to now, the Prem, the FA Cup, etc. And, of course, this fantastic show. That's made season tickets for my kids more special as I set them on the journey of red and white too. And he's come out with some German there, which I can't read. Can I just say about Ricky Fuller? I saw him at Nantwich Town last week, I think it was, against FC United in Manchester. He looks in great nick, and he's still got all the touches. You know, you never lose that, do you?
No.
It was great to see him play, and I hope, Rick, that message gets to you, because I loved watching you on that night. He came on as substitute at half-time, and it was a great privilege to watch the great man anyway. One more time, I hope I get more chances to see him before the end of the season. Ben Davies says, Luton, Barnsley and Charlton to go down. All the three promoted teams from last season. It shows how hard the Championship is. Only one spot left now anyway, as I say, with the bottom two decided, says Ben.
I think Hull might go down.
Yeah. Ted says Kidsgrove will be you'll be there on Wednesday. Jackie Steele says, do you know if the under-18s and Meet the Manager will be streamed, please?
There was talk about Meet the Manager being streamed, but I'm not sure if it's going to be streamed live. And as regards the under-18s, that's very much, the ball's very much in Manchester City's court on that.
We haven't mentioned, have we, Ange, that you can get in that game at Manchester City's Academy if you take your Stoke season ticket with you, can't you?
Yeah,
for free. Must mention that for anybody who's interested in going.
And for those of you that are wondering what's happening here with the signal, Russell has a piece of paper in his hand and he keeps wafting it around. So if you're hearing crackling on your stream, it's that.
It's not. It's you. You normally blame me when it's you, so I'll blame you when
it's
me.
Okay. I'm used to it.
And if you've not been up to the Manchester City Academy, which I've had the privilege
really
of doing,
nice.
It is absolutely fantastic.
Nice little stadium.
And the stadium is, well, it's just unbelievable.
And that's another example of owners with money doing something for the area as well.
They've really completely transformed acres and acres of brownfield land around Eastlands, I think the area is called, isn't it?
We have 5 minutes left for you to get your predictions in for Saturday's match at Reading. And anything else that you want to discuss, captain, who should take the place of Joe Allen? We literally have 5 minutes left.
Ben Cliff's saying you'll see me on Wednesday. I'm sure you will, Ben. And Ted says, Kidsgrove have a few of our youth players who were released. Well, They've got Kieran Coates as well at the moment. I think he may be back at Stoke, but I doubt very much whether Stoke will allow him to play against us. So he'll probably be playing. He could be playing. Well, he's certainly, I think he'd be playing on Tuesday night in the final. League games at Kidsgrove is £8. Cup games are usually £5, says Ben Cliff. This is at Kidsgrove. It wouldn't surprise me if it's £8 on Wednesday with Stoke in town. I suppose you couldn't blame him, could you, really? And he also goes on to say Hull will definitely go down. Dan says, how much will it be to watch under 18 games without season tickets? Well, Dan, if the game is down at the Clayton Wood, it would be free. And I don't know what the cost of entrance is on Tuesday night if you haven't got a season ticket.
Neither do I.
I have to say,
on Man City's website.
But
it won't be a great deal.
But if you have got a season ticket, it's free, but make sure you take it with you.
Yeah, and then you have to collect your tickets from the little satellite box office before you go in.
Okay, Gary Pardy says, I agree, Ange. Luton, Barnsley, and Hull to go down. Dave Wayne says, hi Russ and Ange, great result yesterday. Three of us travelled from Poole in Dorset and it made the journey home really enjoyable. We sat in the booth and end, and amazing sport. We sat in the booth and end, two Stoke fans in front of us, I think. They missed the first three goals and then missed the fourth goal after half time. My mate told them, can you be late every week? Aaron Setterington Hinks says, Oakley Booth is showing promise, especially with the assist. And Ben Cliff, as is the Kidsgrove expert on these matters, says Kieran Coates has gone back to Stoke from his loan. Well, there we are. So we're up to date on that, Ange.
Well, that's us about out of time. So all I want to say to you is thanks for listening. We get lots of people listening from all over the world. We've got quite a few listeners now from Brazil. There's a guy who I need to shout out to tonight, Paul. Jill says you listen every week, so we're very thankful. She also said that you agree with everything I say and not much that Russell says. Well, that won't set you apart from too many people that listen to the show. And I think Russ is going to just tell you now, before we go, the result of the polls from people that have bothered to take part. I'm not a big fan of the polls, but Russ obviously is, and you all... put up with him and make your thoughts known on that. But it's a massive week for the football club. We'd like to wish the under-18s every success at Manchester on Tuesday, and then everybody who's going on to Kidsgrove on Wednesday. And, of course, the most important match is Saturday at Reading. So it's thank you from me, and here's Russ with the polls to finish off.
Well, I've got to read a few posts out for you. Steve Bree says, cheers, guys, great show as always. Dan Ayer says, thanks, guys, great show as always. The Brazilian lad is crazy, but in a good way.
He sent me pictures of the Maracanã yesterday. He listened to the Stoke game, and then he went to watch his own team at the Maracanã, and they lost. So he said Stoke had kept him sane. He is a bit crazy. He's got lots of Stoke fans now in Brazil, and it's great for people like that to love our club.
Gary says Northwood is also the home of our up-and-coming athletes as well. Russ?
Can I just say it's where I learnt to play squash and will always be my most favourite squash club in the world.
Billy Wasp says he's been listening from Stafford Hospital. A great show. Get well
thank
soon
you.
To you. Gary Pardy says thank you for another great show. I really enjoy it, especially when we've won. And Ted says James Butler is a great player for Kidsgrove. Shh, Ted. Judith Barnett says great show Russ and Ange, and Ben Cliff says great show guys, good luck to the under-18s on Wednesday and on Tuesday, and Wednesday I'm 50-50 lol up the Potters. It's true when both his teams are playing against one another. And Ben says James is a superb player. Yeah, he certainly is.
Okay, finally the polls, and
I wonder why I'd know that, Ange. Ben Cliff. Polls on Man of the Match poll. It wasn't Ben Cliff who was Man of the Match yesterday. It was Nick Powell on 57% of the vote. He's won that Man of the Match poll. Stoke got 50% of the vote for the win on Saturday, Ange. That poll has finished. And the Joe Allen poll, yes, it'll cause us minor problems. 47% of the vote. So... not disastrous, but it'll cause us some problems, and I think I'm with that camp. Angie's, as you've heard, is with the we'll just about cope.
No.
We will cope.
We will cope. No just.
Well, we will cope. Well, I'll tell you what, on that same subject, I've had to obviously comment on or use a song that's relevant to Joe Allen going out. And trust me, this is not taking the Michael, but it's Joe Lataxi, which is actually what's happened to Joe for the season. So, sadly, we're playing Vanessa Paradis to finish the show tonight. Good night.
Good night.